The Lord be with you.
With your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the crowds, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy, and my burden light." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
You know, there are different ways that we can look at God. There's also different ways that we can look at sin. And as you might suspect, the two of them are two concepts. The way we look at God and the way that we look at sin are also going to be closely akin to one another. One way of looking at God, which is, if you want to just banalize it, we can call it the Old Testament view of God. And it's not false, it's just partial. One way of looking at God is the supreme being. He is all powerful. He is all holy. He is all glorious. And God, in the early days of Israel, and, you know, for example, Mount Sinai, and so many different moments throughout the history of Israel, precisely because they were so inclined to keep falling into sin and abandoning him and relativizing him and putting him on the same level as other gods and then maybe even below them. Because of all that, God did things to make it manifest. I am totally different. And, you know, he came up with a law that could be harsh. You know, if you commit these sins, you will be banished or you will be put to death or you will be exiled or whatever the case may be. Now, for example, there was the case when King David was leading the Ark of the Covenant into Israel, and the Ark was, you know, was on a wagon and it was going to fall off because the way the mules were walking, and one guy stuck his hand out to steady it, and God blasted him with lightning right there and killed him. And you're like, he was trying to do a good deed, but God was also, and I'm sure maybe at his judgment would have been relatively light, but God was also showing everybody, you do not just handle the things of God, you know, like anything else. By the way, Eucharistic ministers, we do not just handle the Eucharist like we handle anything else. It is God himself. He is all holy and with the greatest reverence and purity of heart and spiritual preparation, we need to approach the Blessed Sacrament. For example, those of us who receive the Blessed Sacrament even more so, frankly, so there's that dimension. And so it is true, but that in the end of the day is not the only, that is not the relationship that God wants for us. He doesn't just want us to live in a relationship of servile fear. Servile, you know, whatever. Ultimately, what he wants is a loving and trusting relationship with him. Now, the flip side and the danger of that, and this is probably what we've fallen into a little bit as in our modern times, would be if we get too comfortable, quote unquote, with the things of God, then after a while we banalize him and we don't treat him with the respect that he deserves. The consequence is that we start not considering sin to be any big deal. And we very lightly commit sins, and we very lightly, even if we've committed them, we find lots of excuses as to why it's not a big deal, and we go to communion and mortal sin, and so on and so forth. And we don't realize there's a reason why sin is sin. And I think, you know, it was such a revolution when Christ appeared and said things like this. Yesterday was the 100 sheep. When he said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." God is revealing his true face, which ultimately is mercy. God, if he gives us these rules and whatnot, it is for our own good, but he is a merciful God. He wants us to turn to him with love and trust, and yes, respect, but to have the confidence to come to him with our sins and to be able to say, "Lord, I keep messing up. I need your help. Without your grace, I'm a disaster, frankly." Okay? And there's no contradiction in these two approaches, in the sense of this absolute sublime reverence and this total confidence with God. You know, if we take God seriously and we take sin seriously, we understand. I think a lot of us just think, well, God is loving, so it doesn't really matter if I sin. I can come to him because I'm burdened. What we're doing is you're just simply saying sin is no big deal. That's not true. And if we say that sin is no big deal and therefore we can approach God with great confidence, you are insulting God. Because you're saying, I know that it doesn't really matter when I contradict you in your word because you're just a good guy. That's an insult. How much more beautiful is it to say, Lord, I recognize that even with the burden of my sin and everything that I have done and all of my faults and failures, nonetheless, I trust in your love. It's not to say that your love makes the sin not become just like it never happened. It is to say that your love is stronger, it is greater, and that even the greatest sinner in humanity can approach you if we could do so with that reverential love and trust. And this, I think, is part of the great gift of Christmas, then. It is a God who wants to come to us with a new face, so to speak. If ever there were a face that we could love, that we could trust, that we could feel comfortable approaching God with, it is that of a newborn child, right? If you look at a newborn infant and think, this is God, how can we be servile in our fear of that? How can we, but again, when we recognize God, who is all-powerful, has chosen to become this, in a certain sense, it should tell us how messed up I must be that he has to reduce himself to that. So, Merry Christmas to you when he reveals to you that you are indeed a mess and he loves you anyway. Father, Son, Holy Spirit.